It's 42 degrees and it's Christmas time. That's just mental.
Stinking hot, dude. Stinking hot.
I feel like I'm about 6 miles off the surface of the sun.
We've got to get through this, but let's do it. What's that? That's the 109 Fahrenheit, I think. So the people over there can get an idea of what we're going through right now.
It's about 100 in a shade. It's crazy.
Well, this is the FakeChimp.net podcast.
First you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me. Blow.
Hey, you've got 3 seconds for it.
I'm going to amp this baby up, see how it sounds.
It's a 1 year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Thanks for listening. My name's Glenn.
I'm Jarrett.
I'm Sean.
And you can catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. Find us on Facebook Interact. You probably already have, otherwise you wouldn't be listening.
Yeah. Interact with us on the Facebook.
Start arguments. It's my favorite.
You love it when people
stir
argue.
I love it when people argue.
Do you love it when
Star
I get
Wars.
All reactive and stuff? And then I realize halfway through I should probably back off, but I can't fucking help myself.
Yeah, I know. You can't. Do I delete it? Do I not delete it?
No, I never leave it. I don't delete. If it's there, it's there, man.
Put it out.
Speaks for itself. So a lot's happened since our last episode, but we should make note that this is our Christmas episode, episode number 20.
Woo! Woo!
We're 20!
20!
That's amazing!
Almost old enough to drink in the United States.
Almost.
I'm 5. This is my 5th one, I think.
Oh, that's good. There you go. It's an anniversary of sorts.
I'm a junior. Yeah,
5 an anniversary of sorts.
Well, no, like, because it's divisible. 20, 5 goes in there 4 times. So, I guess it's a mini anniversary. It's a 5th anniversary. Yeah, it's better 20, than a 6th anniversary.
It's a 25% anniversary.
Them some good odds.
So, a lot has happened since our last episode. Probably so more much than has ever happened between a podcast before, I reckon. A lot of stuff.
It's been a very tight 3 weeks.
Let's just get this fucker out of the way. Star Wars.
Loved it. Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Haven't seen
it. I just completely copied you, man.
That's all right.
Loved it.
That was it was phenomenal. Like, come on.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Heard great things.
It was a real throwback. I think J.J. Abrams has really recaptured that 80s feel that, you know, the original
70s, it perfect.
80s feel. Really, perfect. Really threw in a lot of, let's say, there's a lot of miniatures. There's a lot of puppetry.
Yeah. Prosthetic effects.
Yeah, even sort of a digital backdrop that is almost got a matted feel to it as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole lot of really cool stuff going on.
And throwbacks to characters, and not just the, you know, original cast of characters that return, but, you know, like all the little alien creatures and things.
Oh, absolutely.
Amazing.
And new characters that, you know, just feel like they're from the legacy. You
absolutely.
Know? Even
absolutely.
Though they're brand new, they feel like they're old characters.
And it begs to be watched again because there's so much happening on screen that half the time I'm distracted looking in the background and not concentrating on the primary action in the foreground.
I saw it twice and I picked up a hell of a lot more the second time. Oh, God, yeah, man. I already had tickets and I thought, I'm going to go to that midnight screen.
Do it.
It was just so well worth it. The humor in this one, too.
Is very funny.
Really,
never misses
really
a beat.
Clever. And you'd think that having a lot of humor in this might be a little bit tacky, but it just...
No, it worked,
perfectly,
worked really well. It very much in vain with the humor that we've become accustomed to throughout. Like, the BB-8 droid, very reminiscent of C-3PO and R2-D2, perfectly fits within the franchise. And I don't know one person that's going to leave this movie going, didn't think much of the, you know, the BB-8 droid.
No, I think everyone...
Fucking everyone wants one now. One.
Yeah.
And you can buy one.
You can buy them at JB.
You can buy them at JB. I see this. I sent it to Danny and she's like, I want it. And I'm like,
what are they trading?
I need that. I don't even click on it because I didn't want to see the price.
I think it's a couple $100. I think it's 200 plus.
It's like a drone sort of thing.
Oh, do all sorts of things with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the Christmas list.
So there's a lot of round presents under the Christmas tree this year.
So let's talk about the other Star movie that released a trailer this week.
Star Trek dropped.
Star Trek Beyond.
Star Trek 3. Now, this, once again, is another massive throwback.
Totally.
Because the whole texture of this one looked very much like the original series. All the artificial landscapes, the hyper-fantasy.
Colors. Everything.
Yeah. I like the look of this one. it was paired off with Beastie Boys as their the main song, which I think is just covering up the fact they had to slap it together really fast.
Mm. Just to get it out.
Well, yeah, it dropped a day before Star Wars opened theatrically around the world, so they managed just to sneak it in there, and it was the talk of the, you know, the internet.
You've got to give it to them. Star Wars, arguably the most anticipated film the world has ever seen, and like, how are you going to undermine it? Let's just throw a Star Trek. Didn't quite undermine it as much as they perhaps wanted, but caused a bit of stir.
Not only undermine Star Wars, but throw in a franchise that's previously been directed by the same director as Star Wars.
Yeah, that's insane.
Mm. And even Simon Pegg from Star Trek has a brief appearance, or voice appearance, in Star Wars.
It's amazing.
Are we excited about it?
Yes, I am.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think this one looks a lot better than the last one, just from the visuals alone.
I think you and me are going to end up in a fight
here. Yeah, well, I end up in fights with everyone over my opinions on films.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nothing to do here.
No.
And Jarrett's just in the middle, just like, well, I'm with you guys.
I'm like, take it to Facebook.
Yeah, good.
Settle this in the feed.
I'm just so easily pleased. That's the problem, you know?
Well, moving on.
Okay, well, speaking of easily pleased, we've got Independence Day 2. The first film, I was very easily pleased with that one.
Very easily pleased. 20 years ago.
I remember going to the premiere on a Wednesday night. It was like a school night. And that was fucking 20 years ago. It's taken 20 years to get a sequel
out. I went with my dad and my brother. And I remember because when Independence Day first came out 20 years ago, biggest film the world had ever seen.
Absolutely.
Broke every kind of box office record. Everybody had to go see it. Are they going to match it for this one?
No.
Doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's come too soon off Star Wars.
It's got Star Trek to compete with.
Yeah.
Roland Emmerich isn't the cachet. Doesn't have the cachet.
But I'm not going to undermine it either. I think it will still...
It'll still be a big film.
But I mean, outside of the one movie, did Independence Day have anything else? Didn't have any, you know... There was no other films prior to this. Yep. There was no TV series. I don't know if there's an affiliated comic book or anything.
I mean,
the best you probably got was a collectible toy with a meal at Hungry Jack's.
My brother used to have all the toys.
From Hungry Jack's?
No, from Toys R Us. Heads opened up and little aliens came.
That's fucking cool.
But I like the look of this one. It looks really exciting.
It does look nice.
And moving on, Samurai Cop 2. I have to throw this one in the bag because this one we got a screener for. And I've been anticipating this film for quite a while now. The first film is so arguably one of the worst action movies ever made.
I don't think it's arguable. I think it's probably categorically.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Although American Samurai, I would argue, is possibly the worst.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Anyway, this sequel is very self-referential. It's a real tongue-in-cheek kind of comedy action. And it just really tickled my fancy, man. Like, the colors and the way it looks are just beautiful.
Beautiful. And it's definitely a film made by fans for fans. It's very obvious that that's the case. Different kind of film to the first one, but these guys, they know what they're doing. They've played it the right way, and it balances a fine line for a lot of the time. But
same cast come back, they take the piss out of themselves.
It is so good to see them back on the screen,
and it was all crowdfunded, so clearly it's a movie that the crowd wanted to see. It really, really impressed me.
Yeah, keep your eye out for it. It's well worth a watch.
Another film that dropped fairly quickly was The Ridiculous Six, Adam Sandler film.
Yeah.
I just got my notification on my iPhone that it's dropped. Watch it now. And tell you what, I really, really like this one.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I
mean,
it is no Blazing Saddles, but it's an Adam Sandler film. Yeah. It's a Western that looks gorgeous. The jokes mostly hit the mark. There's a lot that fall flat, but I think more hit the mark than those that fall flat.
I agree. And the cast was great. I mean, Terry Crews, fantastic.
Terry Crews, he's
so fun.
He can't do any wrong.
No.
But Taylor Lautner was a revelation.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was fucking hilarious.
Who would have thought?
I know.
Would you say that it's a return to form for Sandler back in the comedy arena? Because, the guy...
Well, Jared and I kind of think differently about
this. He's done some good films in
the
last
couple
of
years. We like what he does.
Yeah, you know, The Cobbler was very different.
Pixels, man.
Pixels was great. Yeah. Like, honestly, Pixels I really enjoyed.
Whether we think it's funny or not, though, he's not particularly in the crowd's favour at the moment. Is this likely
clawing back any credibility? Well, he is, because his movies make a shit ton of money, man.
Well, that's true.
I think it's
Pixels made a lot of money here in Australia, might add. Like, in the States, it did sort of tank, but it made a lot of money here. Australia still loves Sandler.
I think it's popular to sledge him, but behind closed doors in your lounge room, I think everyone's still watching his films.
You're probably right.
I think he's just
getting
as
a cheeky shot out, watching one of the Adam Sandler films.
Good for him.
But I did like this one, and if you want to say return to form, it's definitely a return to Little Nicky style of comedy,
right,
you know, where it's very high concept.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so anyway.
Ridiculous Six.
I would recommend
worth a watch.
It.
I mean, if you've got Netflix, stream it for free. If you don't enjoy it in the first 30 minutes, then you're probably not going to enjoy the other 90 of it. But
yeah,
it's good fun.
It's 2 hours long.
It's two hours long. But it doesn't feel like 2 hours, though. But yeah.
I wasn't keeping tabs, so I was surprised that it felt a lot.
I was hungover when I was watching it, so every minute felt like a lifetime.
Good.
But it was an entertaining lifetime. So yeah.
And the other thing that happened since our last podcast was Monster Fest.
Yes. See, I try to make it different to the other ones that I do because, you know, you guys...
Yeah, well...
I think that sounded different.
I had a lot of fun this year.
It was good fun.
4 days of...
Intensive.
So many films, so many beers, so many good times.
All right, so let's talk about standout films. For me, Catsick Blues was the standout film of the festival.
Yeah.
It showed me things on the cinema screen that I haven't seen before. And for a little independent, almost micro-budget film to come and do that, that's... amazing.
Hats off.
Stylish.
Excellent. Yeah.
Very stylish. Yeah,
very stylish.
Probably
very
a little stylish. Bit over long, but I think that also is quite deliberate. There's quite a bit of gratuity towards the end of it that I
absolutely.
Think is very purposeful. And that I
and that was one of my favourite parts of the film was the fact that there is a part that seemingly goes longer than it should, but it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't want to spoil the thing. That's why we're not saying anymore. We're talking
What about yourself?
Riddles.
What's some of your
Bound of Vengeance was my favourite, which is effectively a rape torture revenge film where you don't actually see really any of the rape or torture, and it's pretty much revenge for the 80 odd minutes it goes for.
Cool.
And it is a fast paced 80 minutes, solid American film. Comes out here on Home End in February, so you should check it out.
Really? I haven't seen that. I didn't catch
Bound
that.
Bound of Vengeance, very cool one. Film. Yeah.
I've got a man crush on Keanu Reeves, so my stand up was Knock Knock.
Ah, yes.
And I love Eli Roth. It's good to see him back in the big screen. A bit more tame, a bit more conscious work, perhaps, a bit more controlled from him. Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
A bit more commercial?
Yeah, way more commercial. Yeah. Much more accessible for just about everybody, and funny as hell at times as well.
It did feel like he pussied out a tiny bit. I felt like it was going to be brutal, and it was going in that direction, and then it sort
just kind of pulled it back.
Yeah.
Just every time you think it was going to creep over the line, I
still appreciate it, but I think I went in thinking it was going to go that next step, and
it's
it never quite did.
It's actually funny, isn't it? Because home invasion movies just keep pushing the envelope. Like they have to outdo each other with the terror. So I guess he might have been trying to rein it back to a standard that it began with.
Yeah,
like Funny Games, which obviously it's no Funny Games, but that was quite tame.
I don't know, man.
Funny Games was...
fucks me up.
Yeah.
That, it's subliminal.
The intensity is what gets you. Not the violence.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was quite good. Cool. Yeah. All in all, successful festival.
Yeah, we had the trivia there, which was fun.
Yeah.
What else did we have? We had the rooftop. They had their little party shit going up there. They had retailers there selling all kind of merch and t-shirts and whatnot. The guests were Dave Wallace, which we covered this last time.
Yeah.
We had...
Fred Williamson.
Fred Williamson.
The guy from
Eddie
the Monsters.
Monster. Yeah,
him. Vig. Butch Cassidy. Butch. Right. Butch somebody. No one cares.
Butch Patrick.
No one cares.
It's just a...
I'm sorry. Did anyone care? No, I'm kidding. Like, honestly, yeah, he seemed like a sweet dude.
I was bragging everybody. Yeah. I'm like, I shook his hand.
Like, all jokes aside,
yeah.
People were flocking to him more than anyone else.
Yeah.
If you look at all the photos on Facebook from Monster Fest, it was all about him.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
So
everyone
was
thought
clearly,
they met Joe Pesci, but
clearly
it was
good,
the dude from the Monsters.
Clearly a good...
Jesus.
I'm sorry. I'm like a dog with a bone. I won't stop. I'm sorry. So other films, though, standout films, Australians.
Australians was great. That was a really small but really high concept Australian
film. It's cool. It's a bit of a throwback to like 80s family.
Master Tech style film.
Yeah, absolutely.
It
and
had,
50s, yeah.
Yeah, it was DIY, so the director had done everything himself.
Yeah, everything.
He wrote it, he shot it, he edited it, he did the digital effects.
And he was really personable. When he did the Q&A, he was very sort of modest and... It's very cool.
And it's just a really fun movie. I think it's slightly too long, which he conceded himself in the Q&A.
Which said, was a point, 20 minutes too long. And he pretty much said that exactly. And we're like, well, dude, if you know it's too long, cut that
trim
20
it.
Minutes out.
Yeah.
Hasn't hit home end yet. Do the home end cut.
Yeah.
Cut 20 minutes out.
He's so close to it, I think it's a bit too precious. It's, he can't find where he can cut without feeling a bit heartbroken by doing so. But
That's fair enough.
I also liked Vixen's Velvet Zombie Massacre. I think that was really fun.
Yeah, that was good fun.
That's an
that
Australian film shot in...
Canada.
Shot up at Dawson City. Canada, America.
America.
Well, Dawson City, that's Canada.
No, it was in Canada. It was definitely Canada.
It's Canada.
Yeah, it was Canada.
The Yukon. Of course it's Canada. Anyway, you know what? I'm feeling really festive, so let's just move this into the whole Christmas kind of realm, and we'll talk about our focus film for this episode, Silent Night.
Silent Night. for me?
Let me tell you about Christmas. It ain't all candy canes and pretty lights. I heard this story. This fella dressed as Santa. He set about killing them that was naughty.
Creep.
Every year, a new town.
Everyone knows that story. It's an urban legend.
It ain't.
Christmas. The number one holiday for people going nuts.
Listen, we've got a lead on our killer from the motel. He's wearing a Santa suit and a mask.
Hiding in plain sight.
What if he was punishing them?
We're just gonna have to take this maniac down ourselves.
Christmas Eve is the scariest damn night of the year.
So, Silent Night, I love nothing more than a good festive horror film.
It is something to behold, isn't it?
Yeah.
This was your first time, Jared, watching
first
this
time,
one.
Yeah. I can't believe it came out, what, 2012?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's taken all that time to reach Australia.
Yeah, to finally get a local release.
It's only just been released here, which is out absurd,
a shame.
But
yeah.
It's about fucking time, though. Totally. I really dig this one. I saw it a few years ago. Watching it again with you guys tonight was the second time I've seen it. I was more impressed with it this time than I was the first.
I think
really dug a lot of the humor a lot more this time. Yeah. What really stood out to me this time was the production design.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Between the production design and the lighting design, they are insane. It is so much fun just to look at it. He's just taken all those Christmas colors, big, bright, poppy reds, greens, yellows, and then that's pretty much just what you get for 80 minutes. It's incredible. Yep. It looks really good. I mean, it's stylized to the max.
Yeah.
It's not quite as clever as something like, say, Suspiria, but it looks amazing.
Well, I think, too, the style is the key factor for me because, and I wrote this in my review back in 2012, that I think the script is terrible. I think most of the acting is pretty subpar. Aside from the main chick, she's really good.
She's good.
She's great. Jamie King.
Yeah.
But these things don't matter because I think Stephen C. Miller has really thrown so much at the actual, you know, production value that all just is swept under the carpet. It's just such a fun fucking film.
Yeah.
And that none of that matters.
It looks much bigger than it, you know, I dare say, than it probably actually was. I
agree, yeah.
And as I was watching it, it kind of reminded me of Paul W.S. Anderson and Jeremy Bolt productions. Really slick. All the money's on screen. It looks $1 million. Has a couple of, you know, lackluster things like you mentioned, you know, the acting and the script or whatever, but for the most part, this is as good as popcorn films get. I think it's
And a point we should make is that, you know, it's touted as a remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night, but it's not a remake. It's just the reimagine.
It's got a few throw-throughs, but
it's not the same storyline.
No, not at all.
So I think it's just taken that springboard and just fucking gone with it and run. And we were talking before about Malcolm McDowell in this film. Interesting character and interesting performance because he really goes over the top and hams it up completely, but that doesn't necessarily suit a lot of the storyline.
Like, because it feels, you know, there's some humorous moments early in the piece, but he really breaks it up. And from the point he kind of comes in with his lines about adding extra things to a burger that don't need to be there, like avocado or hummus.
And then
after that, it seems to take a bit more of a comic turn with a few moments in there. Yeah. Prior to that, I was kind of like, I don't know about this balance, because you seem like you don't belong in this movie.
But the funny thing about that is we felt like it was unbalanced, but we liked the humor.
Yeah,
it actually was funny.
Yeah.
And those comments were hilarious. His procedural stuff was, oh my God.
It feels like he just kind of wandered in it from another film for a little bit until he settles into the groove and he gets it.
Observe the police procedural stuff. It's hilarious. You know,
amazing.
Like within the course of like half an hour, she's got fully developed crime scene photos. You know, within 5 minutes, they've got the whole crime scene mapped out on their chalkboard.
On a whiteboard, and they've never switched one of their computers on.
Yeah,
we were looking at like, everyone's got computers on.
I noticed that. Yeah, all the computers are blank.
How are they doing this? No, but look, yeah, as production value was the thing that stood out for me, yeah. It actually looked very slick.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that watching it. I was like, wow, the camera works fantastic, and there was some steady cam and a lot of movement. I for one, actually didn't think the performance status of Malcolm McDowell were that bad. I thought the other deputy that wasn't played by Jamie King, the one that had the, you know, throwaway sort of one-liners, I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked what he was pointing out.
Sure.
But, yeah, no.
And the violence is great.
Yeah.
It's insanely violent.
We've got a delicious bloody wood chipper scene.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. I love it.
Throwback to Fargo,
and
perhaps.
Head being axed, like, to literally to pieces.
Yeah.
With one stroke of the axe, a head
like
just,
a watermelon just splitting
amazing.
In two.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Super gory.
If we do call it a remake of the original one from 1984, sure. Do we think it's as good as, better than, or not?
It's a really tricky one. I can't really.
I think it's better. I watched the other one recently, and the original one's really rigid, and it's like I think this one. If I had to choose between the two of them, I'd choose this
one. Okay, I'll tell you what. I actually think the original is probably a better film, but this one I could probably watch a lot more.
Yeah.
I could throw this one on again.
I love Billy.
Yeah.
You know.
Billy.
So punish.
That was actually one thing that I'm not going to reveal, but toward the end of the film, almost seemingly too late into the film, they kind of revealed, you know, the killer's motives and things of that nature, and it just felt like needlessly tacked on at the end. I was like, we've got through this much of the movie without knowing it.
Yeah.
Throwing it at the end, it kind of just felt needless. I was like,
but the thing is, it is a good concept, but like you said,
should have been brought in earlier.
Way too late.
Yeah. Like, you know, before the closing act of the film, you know.
Or even giving us a bloody pre-credit sequence, you know, or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Something. Just a little taste.
Sure.
That just felt like the film had ended and then we had a Lord of the Rings moment. It was like, here's a bit of extra shit.
Yeah.
You're like, no!
Do you reckon that was set up for a sequel? Do you think there was a franchise?
Yeah, definitely feels like it. Like it was probably almost, it was done.
Yeah.
And then they went, well, we'll go back and shoot this because there's sequel potential. And I'm surprised there's not.
I'm surprised, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm surprised there hasn't been one so far.
Today, actually, the director, Stephen C. Miller, posted a link to an article that was written by some geeky guy that went ahead and wrote a treatment for a sequel.
Right, okay.
Oh. Which, for the director of this to go and share, that's, you know...
That's quite humble.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I read halfway through his concept before I had to go, you know, meet you and whatnot, but it sounded pretty fun, so...
Go figure.
Yeah, who knows? It might be later. Next year.
This was released 2012, and when I jumped on IMDb just to see what the director had done prior, I realised that same year he did Under the Bed, which was the best throwback to sort of 80s... kind of family
creepy,
horrors with a slightly edge to it. Kind of had that Gremlins, that Joe Dante sort of feel.
Well,
I'll
read out some films that he's directed. He did one called Automation Transfusion, which he's doing a sequel to,
as far
as IMDb is concerned.
That came out, because that was like 2006 or something.
That was a while ago. Then he did Scream with the Banshee, which is one of those After Dark
films. This is
that was my favourite of the After Dark ones. Next to Husk, they were the two standouts.
Yeah, I was going
to
say Husk was one of them, and Mulberry Street was Mulberry Street.
Oh, no, this twins one. Seconds Apart.
Seconds Apart.
Yes, there you go.
Okay,
Seconds Apart.
Jeez, the long way round. And then he made Under the Bed. He did the Aggression Scale.
And then
he's got a brand new one coming out called Extraction with Bruce Willis.
Ooh.
And he's got one coming up after that called Marauders with Bruce Willis and Dave Bautista.
He's become best pals with old Brucey.
Old Brucey boy. But Extraction, if you look online, you'll know the artwork is also retrocentric sort of artwork.
Yeah. I think I've seen the art for that.
Cool. Pretty cool. But anyway, speaking of Stephen C. Miller, director of Silent Night, he chipped in with a few words he had to say about the film for us.
Isn't he a nice guy?
Oh, I love it when they do that.
So good.
They hear about us, they know we're going to talk about their film, so they offer a bit.
That's great. Next minute, we'll have Adam Sandler sort of chipping in on the next one.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Second review in the world on IMDb external section.
And you were favourable about it, which is a lot kinder than a lot of people have been on Adam Sandler.
So if Adam Sandler's listening,
totally.
Chip us
a bone.
Anyway, Stephen C. Miller.
Hey everyone, this is Stephen C. Miller, director of Silent Night. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening today. I'm really excited about Silent Night being released in Australia. It's been a while since the movie's been done, so it's great that the rest of the world's finally getting to experience it. It was a lot of fun to make. We went up to Winnipeg for about 3 months, and we tried to make the movie in snow. Funny enough, it didn't snow in a place where everyone told us it was going to snow 24/7. So we really had a challenge ahead of us to try to make the film feel cold and brooding at the same time, do it without snow, or kind of use some trickery to give the illusion that we were getting snow. I even used camera tricks that we ended up shooting towards the sky low angle shots a lot of the times because the sky looked cold, but the ground obviously didn't. But, you know, it was just a really fun movie to make. A lot of the crew was really excited about it. It was a film that I really loved as a kid from the 80s, Silent Night, Deadly Night. And it was a real pleasure for me to try to get a chance to remake it. There was a lot of things that I loved about the original movie that I tried to sneak into this one, even if it was hints, Grandpa, the antlers gag, even something from the sequel, Garbage Day. You know, I really tried to give fans something they could find, little Easter eggs, something they could hunt for, and, you know, really give them something that they could be excited for in a slasher film, which is something that I've always been a huge fan of. I'm a huge 80s geek, grew up on slasher films. It was sort of the thing that led me into making movies. So this was a real treat for me to get to make something that I thought had a lot of potential and could do a lot of things, and there's nothing scarier to me than Santa Claus on Christmas. So I hope everyone enjoys the movie. I'm really excited it's over there. Hit me up anytime on Twitter at Stephen C. Miller, and I love responding and reaching out and interacting. So hit me up, let me know you like the movie.
It's time for giveaways.
Woo!
You're gonna give us a little giveaway grunt,
a little voice.
Give me free shit.
Oh man, that's the gift I don't want to receive.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's
listen
the gift
to that.
That's
that's like
okay, so that was kind of spunky. We've got giveaways. The editor was our last giveaway on the last episode, and we have six winners to announce.
Six.
And we will be in touch with all of you individually to arrange for postage and delivery. We've got Mr. Sean Corrigan.
Woo! I almost got excited there. I thought you were going to say my name. I was like, I won!
No, you're not allowed. Chris Lawler, Simon Howard, Hussein Koda, Reese Hensley, and Michelle Elliott. So thank you all for entering. We are going to get in touch with you and send those groovy editor...
Congratulations, guys.
...movies to you, which leads us to a brand new giveaway.
And we're giving away...
Okay, cue awkward segue.
Did we just wake Jared up?
I was just waiting. Oh, he looked at me and went,
well, you know...
Am I doing
he did just blow his fucking load. And, you do get kind of tired. We've got some movies from Eagle Entertainment, and they're going to love shit. That I segued that with the Spunk reference. Not. We've got Plus One, which, if that Spunk had have hit its mark, we would have had a Plus
Can
One.
Can we stop saying Spunk?
I was taking a shit. I was just taking a shit.
No, that was shit. That was a jizz.
No, I sound way more enthused and passionate about that. I'd be like, oh, yeah! Come on! Give me free shit.
That's too much.
All over me.
Gonna leave that right there. So we've also got Redirected, which is... Both of these are new titles from Eagle Entertainment, and we've got them on Blu-ray. So all you have to do if you want to win these copies, which who wouldn't?
Send us a nude picture of yourself.
Oh, correct. My God, stop it. You're gonna... Oh, my God.
Well, all you have to do is email us. Just email glenn@fakeshamp.net, and that's all you have to do. Tell us your name, your address, and we'll get these in the mail to you.
Surely we've got to make it a little harder than
No. Knowing the listener base, don't send the nude photos. Just tell us you want to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll give you a crack at it.
They're
Merry
good.
Christmas.
They're good films.
They are. Like,
clean,
Plus One are
clean
really...
films. Clean yeah. films. Rappers are clean. I should say that as well.
This one says strong coarse language, sexual themes, and violence. So, and this one says strong violence, sex, and nudity. Yeah, you're right. Spot on there, Sean.
All over it.
Oh.
I loved a woman who wasn't clean.
Mrs. Santa?
No, it was her sister.
Do you like that Christmas music?
Yes, it reminds me of better times.
Does it? Better times?
Yeah, when my parents were together and...
Oh, my God. Don't start us in a weep story. Jesus.
I'm joking.
Good.
Good. So we're getting festive?
We're getting festive.
We're in the mood?
Why am I in the mood?
I'm feeling it.
Are you?
I want free shit!
Good.
Okay, let's talk about Christmas movies. We're going to do away with our guilty pleasures and all of that shit for the time being. And we're going to talk about our top five favorite Christmas movies.
Do you know what I love?
What?
Christmas movies.
I love Christmas movies, too.
I love them
the only
so much.
That I watch them.
Right, yeah. Okay, you save them all up for December.
I'm exactly the same. I have an advent calendar. December 1, first one. December 2, second one. And I go all the way through Christmas.
Awesome.
I can't wait to hear your five then.
I'm really looking forward to this because
you're going
to
be so disappointed in my five.
There's so many ways you can go. Like, do you keep it wholesome, family friendly? Do you go into the horror round? Do you mix it up? Like,
I think you should mix it up.
Yeah, let's do it. Who wants to go first?
Jared does.
Oh, geez, that was like thrown all over the shop.
Okay, I will go first then.
Jared goes first.
How are we going to approach this? Are we going to like just...
let's just do one each as
we go.
Do you
just rattle them through?
No, we do them individually because...
Okay. So you do your five?
All right. Okay. Well, I'll start now. The first one is Home Alone, home invasion movie that I love. Saw it in the movies as a kid. Watch it every couple of years. Then National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which I watched earlier this year, not in December.
Oh my God, what the fuck were you thinking?
I just really wanted to watch it on Blu-ray.
So what are you watching in July, dude?
Well, I probably did, actually. Last Christmas was a bit rough. My parents broke up. No, I'm just kidding. That happened years ago. Then next up, pretty, you know, cliched, but It's a Wonderful Life.
Yep. That was on my list, but I replaced it.
Yeah, it was on my list as well, and then I thought, no, I'm going to take
it. Oh, fuck.
Wait till you see the one I took it off
of. Oh, you'll see what I replaced it with. You go, okay, cool.
I got Gremlins. I fucking love that movie. I can watch that any time of year as well.
I saw Gremlins at the Alamo Theater in Texas last year, and it was the best.
They're doing it again this year.
It doesn't surprise me. It was the singular best cinema experience I've ever had, watching Gremlins at the Alamo.
The thing is, I'm a massive Gremlins fan. Yeah. There is no doubt about its masterpiece, but it's an anti-Christmas film. It's the one film I have to give warnings out to parents whenever they hire it because it ruins the myth of Santa Claus.
Really? Oh, it does as well, doesn't it?
Really badly. And that's the scene Spielberg wanted out. He did not want that
scene
in there.
It's a great scene.
It's
there.
It's an emotional anchor, right?
It's beautiful.
But for a family-esque film, it's really dicey stuff.
I forgot how funny Gremlins was as well. When you forget, it is fall down hilarious. Anyway, keep
going. And then last is Black Christmas, the 1974 version.
Bob Clark.
Directed by Bob Clark, who's also directed A Christmas Story.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I fucking love that movie. I remember seeing it as a kid, and I think it was the first time I ever heard the word cunt.
Oh, wow.
I want to lick your piggy cunt, I think it was.
There you go.
And I'm like, oh my God, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean?
Well, we've now got the word cunt in our Christmas segment three times, which is atrocious, guys.
Oh, well, you know, it's Christmas.
Record show I haven't dropped a cunt bar?
Hello.
There you go.
Okay.
Shameless.
All right. Who's next?
Those four cunts are better than Eddie Munster. No, I'm kidding. That guy's great. I just wanted to retract. I was just having a laugh. Now, someone, who else is going to give me their top five?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to rock, paper, scissors you for it. You ready? Ready? One, two, three. Glenn lost.
Well, scissors cuts middle finger.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. I'm going to start with my most shameful one. Reindeer Games.
Oh wow. Yeah. Also known, what was the other title for Reindeer Games?
Yeah, it was called Deception.
That's right.
Yeah.
Reindeer Games is
better.
I saw this in the movies when it came out. Look, I didn't mind it. Who directed
like Arnold Schwarzenegger? John Frankenheimer.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was the first theatrical film by Aaron Kruger, who's now like the Transformers baby. He writes all the Transformers films. Gremlins.
Yep.
Excellent. Good choice, sir.
Good choice, sir.
Total Christmas movie there.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
What? Is that set at Christmas?
Yes,
is it?
Yeah, it is.
I realize that.
Would you call it a Christmas movie?
It is a Christmas film.
It's set at Christmas.
There you go.
Lethal Weapon. Fuck it.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna fuck it.
Well, you're gonna fucking love this one then.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
That
is a Christmas movie.
What's that meme going around? There's two type of people.
The two type of people in the world. Those that think Die Hard is a Christmas film, and the rest are wrong.
Yeah.
It's irrefutably Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got Christmas carols in it.
Totally.
It is so good.
As part of the soundtrack.
Hans, booby. Like, it's the best. And then Home Alone. Obviously.
Yep, classic.
Classic.
Cool. Great.
All right, let's move on to me. So the one I did replace It's a Wonderful Life with was Miracle on 34th Street.
The original.
I will say the colorized version of the original is stunning.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I don't do colorized very often, but that one is magnificent, and I really highly recommend it. 1947, that was made as well.
Yeah. I even like the remake.
The remake's okay, but it does not pair in comparison when you go back and watch the original. Original has so much more heart and same concepts. It's also an anti-Christmas movie if you think about it.
Oh, really?
You know,
I guess it would be.
You know, it's all about, does Santa Claus exist?
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about kids listening to this episode after the last little bit.
Yeah.
So we can say that he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
What?
And all right, we're moving on. My next one is A Christmas Story.
Yep.
1983, Bob Clark, which spawned two sequels. One was called It Runs in the Family, also My Summer Story.
Yep.
And then Christmas Story 2, which was released, 2 years ago? Daniel Stern playing the Darren McGavin character.
I haven't seen it.
It's quite funny. You know, it's better than the other sequel.
Right.
Yeah. So then Scrooged, 1988.
Good call. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic film. It gets better every time.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's great to watch it now, having seen Bill Murray's new Christmas special.
Right, which you really enjoy.
A lot of it drips in. Yeah, there's a lot of reference. Not references, but a lot of themes are sort of his attitude. Crossovers, yeah, for sure. Then I've got Christmas Vacation, of course.
Of course.
And Home Alone.
Everybody's got Home Alone. Home Alone's the winner. Home Alone takes home the biscuit.
Cool.
Notable exceptions. Notable films. Christmas in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's remake. Have you seen that one?
Oh,
the one that he directed with Kris Kristofferson?
No, never saw it. I didn't realize that he had directed a
He's
feature.
Directed two things. He directed an episode of Tales of the Crypt.
Yes, I know that.
And then he directed Christmas in Connecticut.
Right.
This is fantastic.
I want to watch it. So I want to watch it.
It's so good, it's bad.
I'm going to try Netflix the
it's
fuck
not
out
good.
Of that.
It's terrible.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, can we just... I want to do a little bit of an introduction right now.
Right.
Which is the worst segment to be doing an introduction after all these C-bombs that have just been dropped. But I want to introduce the unofficial fourth member of FakeShemp.net, which is Billy Crank.
Oh. Hey, Billy.
Billy Crank is an American comedian who's been doing some work for us, and he's going to be involved with us next year. And he's chipped in some top fives as well. So I'm going to play them for you now, and I apologize to Billy.
Sorry,
he's
Bill.
Very wholesome and family-friendly.
Sorry, buddy.
Anyway, so Billy, take it away.
Billy Crank here with FakeShemp.net. And today I'm going to be giving you my five favorite movies, least favorite, to favorite, starting at number five with Christmas with the Cranks, starring Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis. And not only does it have a really, really cool name, Christmas with the Cranks, get it? Billy Crank, Christmas with the Cranks? Awesome movie. Didn't think I would like it, but I really enjoyed watching this movie. And at number four, Christmas Story. You know, that one with the boy who puts his tongue to that pole and gets stuck. His daddy buys that half of a woman and puts it up in the window, and his wife gets mad, and then that boy with the skunk over his head is running around beating people up. A lot of good memories with that one. And number three, can't miss it, can't leave it out, Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, that came out in 1990. I was in first grade when that came out. And what kid doesn't want to be left alone? Who-da-who-da-what-a? Yeah, must have been that bowl I smoked. Shit. Hoota-hoota-hoota-hoota. I got a big family, so I can definitely relate. And at number two, Christmas Vacation, starring Chevy Chase as Clark Griswold. Damn, I got a whistle in the background. What in the world's going on? Got a whistle going on out here. We being attacked?
Oh!
Good boy, Louie. Get him. Get him. And at number one, Ernest Saves Christmas. Of course, need I say more? You have to watch Ernest Saves Christmas at Christmas, before Christmas, and even after Christmas. Heck, I even watch it on Halloween. Know what I mean? One of my favorite actors, Jim Varney, stars in this. Watched it with the family. And this is Billy Crank signing off for FakeShemp.net. You guys have a good one and a merry, merry Christmas. Now, Clark, if you don't mind, I'm going to hang on to this chair. It's a quality item.
Where the hell did you take your shoes off?
Why the hell are you dressed like a chicken?
Time to wrap this baby up. And I should have mentioned this right at the beginning when we were talking about all those other movies that came out.
Yes.
Jared and I on the last episode said that we were really anticipating Creed.
Yes.
Have we seen Creed yet?
Yes.
No, I might be seeing it on Tuesday.
Fuck.
All right. have you really not seen it yet?
No, I was supposed to go to the premiere and I forgot all about it until I was on my way home and I went, you know what? I'm actually determined to get home and edit tonight.
So oh, really?
I'm calling it.
Fair
that's
enough.
I saw it.
Okay. We'll have a brief discussion without spoilers.
I loved it.
Same. All right, moving on.
Sweet so, man.
What we need to also mention is we talked about the editor on our last episode. We fudged a few facts, and the Astron guys were kind enough to make a few corrections for us. So hit up our Facebook page and find the link to the last podcast. Jared, did you just headbutt your microphone?
I nose butted it.
Good. Nose loved it.
I've lost my fucking train of thought.
Is that it?
No, that's not it, because our next episode is going to be the best of 2015.
This is going to be a good episode.
It's going to be great, because I don't know what you guys are listing for your top 10.
Well, you know what my number one is.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not going to say it out
loud.
I know
what that is, but only because you raved about it.
It's true.
And anyone that listens to every episode will know exactly what one it is. However, we're all going to go through and figure out our winners. We're going to do the FakeChamp.net Awards, which we did last year.
Totally.
And figure out what the best Aussie film is, you know, as far as we're concerned. So I'm looking forward to that, and we're also going to follow that up with a regular episode and a whole lot of fun there. So
it'll be great fun.
Anyone have anything else they want to add before we really go and fucking have a few drinks? Because
I hope it gets cooler.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
It'd I'm knackered.
I'm not going to swear.
I know exactly what you were going to say. So anyway, episode 20. It's been fun.
Thanks,
Merry
guys.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everybody, and we'll see you in the new year, so have a happy one.
Stay safe, guys.